get this to work.
Yeah. This is what I want to try and achieve. We've got a few sessions, but it's just Hashem. No, no, there'll be many, many people here for the future sessions. And we'll be covering some of this ground again, so they won't lose out because it comes in lots of different applications. What I want to do is I want to cover the chesed mitzvahs in a structured, organized way. And to start with, I want to look at V'ahavtal Reicha Kamocha. Now, the good thing about having this kind of small group is that we can go quite quickly. We don't have to explain everything 15 times. But please do stop me for something I say that doesn't make any sense, or that there's words I use that don't make any sense, etc., etc. Maybe just because I'm English, but you should understand English anyway. So. Fine. The starting point, I've entitled it Ahavas Reim, because I'm really looking today principally at the mitzvah V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. I have studied this with Rav Yitzchak Berkowitz and also done quite a lot of my own research and put my own things in, and it's actually an incredible mitzvah. There's a lot of details that people don't realize, and let's make a start. First of all, a preamble, number one. Judaism takes chesed seriously. That's not going to be a chiddush to anybody, but it was a chiddush in the world. Al shleisha dvarim ha'olam oimed ala Torah al ga'avoda v'al gimlus chasodim. That gimlus chasodim is not just another mitzvah. It's one of the amudim of the entire Torah philosophy. Please do come in. Take a seat. I see you brought a supply of Huggies ink, just in case. It's always good to have. We've just started. Chesed is one of the Amudei Ha'olam. Avraham Avinu is Isha Chesed. We'll get back to him at the very end. This week's Parsha, Lech Lecha. This was a Chiddush in the world. And therefore, it runs to the very root of our entire religion. To the extent that the Gemara says in number 2, Darash Rav Simlai, Torah, Tchilasu Gemilus Chasadim, Vasoifu Gemilus Chasadim. The Torah begins with Chesed. The Torah ends with Chesed. And the whole Torah is framed by Chesed. Tchilas al gmilus chasadim dichsir v'yas Hashem Elokim la'odom ule ishtoi kosnes or v'alyal bishem, that Hashem made these their clothes for Adam and Chava. That's an act of chesed. V'sayt al gmilus chasadim dichsir v'yikibar oisoi v'yikbar oisoi b'gai, that he buried Moshe in the valley. In other words, the whole thing is framed in that sense by chesed, and therefore it's not a surprise that V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha is one of the central mitzvahs. So let's have a look at the mitzvah in some detail and see what it says. First of all, the pasuk, number 3. Most of the mitzvahs Bein Adam L'Chaveiro come in Parshas Kedoshim. Let's have a look at this. This is also from Parshas Kedoshim. Lo sikayim v'lo sisayim. Es b'nei amecha, do not take revenge, do not bear a grudge against your nation, your fellow people. V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha ani Hashem. And these words are difficult to translate, actually. V'ahavta means you must love. L'reicha, to your rea, whatever that is. Kamocha, like yourself, ani Hashem, I am Hashem. And I raised a whole bunch of questions on this particular pasuk. What does that mean? Why does the pasuk come together with, why does the mitzvah of Avas Reim come together with Loisika v'Loisitai? What is the relevance of taking revenge and bearing a grudge to loving your neighbor? What does it mean to love somebody? How can the Torah command you to love somebody? Why does it say l'reicha? That's the most grammatical, obvious question. We don't speak like that. We don't say, if I say I love you, I don't say ani ohev lach. If you go to someone and say in Hebrew, ani ohev lach, I don't know what they'll think, apart from the fact you're a bit creepy. They'll think that you don't speak very good Hebrew as well, you're obviously a chutznik, because you don't say that. It's v'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha, etc., etc. It's not v'ahavta la Hashem Elokecha. So why did it change the rules of grammar to put the lamed here? And also, who is your reacha? Who does that include? Is it Jews? Is it non-Jews? Etc. What does like yourself mean? Why does it say I am Hashem? We'll deal with a lot of these points as we go through. Now, first of all, have a look at Rashi on that posik. By the way, the posik, I didn't put in the reference, it got missed off the sheet. By mistake, it's in Vayikra 19, verse 18. And have a look at what it says in Rashi. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Amar Rabbi Akiva ze klal gadol
b'Torah.
That's where the song comes from. Right. At least you didn't think that the Rashi came from the song. That's the start. I once asked a class of people, you know, where do we learn, where does the Gemara learn the limud that there are 613 mitzvahs? And one girl very enthusiastically put up her hand and said, from the seeds in the pomegranate. So I said, no. I was very patient with her. I said, that's a good try, it's just an idiotic answer. No, anyway, the point is, that's not where we learn that from. However, the song does come from here. Zek klal gadol toh. What is a klal? So this is a very important word. I want to give you, at the very beginning, two immediate implications of the word klal. Number one, it's not a prat, it's not a detail. It's an overarching mitzvah, it's a general principle. It's an umbrella idea. And we'll see as we go through the weeks that many of the other mitzvahs of Chesed, in fact pretty much all of them, are specific applications of this mitzvah. If you stop people in the street and say, where does it say in the Torah, thou shalt invite guests? They'll probably start rambling on about Avraham Avinu. That's not true. We learn that you should a mitzvah to invite guests from the mitzvah, d'oraita, the ahavta, the re'echa, the machbor, sisu. So it's a klal which has many pratim. And also, it's a klal in the sense that it comes together with pretty much everything else. Every time you keep another chesed mitzvah, you love a ger, or you don't hate somebody, or whatever it is, or you give stark, or whatever, this mitzvah comes along with it. Whereas every time you do an aveira, in veidalam lachaveira, whatever the specific aveira is, you take revenge, you bear a grudge, da, 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 you don't judge people favorably, you're also doing this aveira. It comes alongside pretty much everything. Also, whenever you do any of the specific negatives or you keep any specific positives, this comes along as an also, you know, two for the price of one, which is incredible. And also, if you think about it, the vast majority of what we do on a day-to-day basis, which is Bein Adam Lamokam, is Derabonah. The vast majority. Whereas pretty much everything we do on a day-to-day basis, which is Bein Adam Lachaveru, is Doraisa. And you can test it, you can go, you can make a list of the things you do all through the day, your brochas and your davening and your this and the way you keep Shabbos and the way you keep kosher and the way you have it. It's almost all Derabbanan. Whereas everything you do at Bein Adam Lachaveru is Doraisa, which is one of the reasons why the Vilna Gaon said that the main avodah of a Jew should really be in Bein Adam Lachaveru. That's where it's heading in Olam Haba. Not that the Drabonans are not important, of course they are, but this is a whole new Madrega. Fine. Klal Gadol B'Torah. Look at two Targumim, 5 and 6. Targum Unklus. Targum Unklus generally just translates word for word, and that's what he does. Terachem lechavreich, love your friend, kevatach, like yourself, ana Hashem, I am God. But look at Targum Yonason. Targum Yonason translates the words quite differently. I agree. Well, Terachmei lechavreich, you must love your friend, and look at what he says now. Deman ansani lach, what is hateful to you? Loi tavid lein, don't do to him. And I want you to understand what Targum Yonason has done there. The Targum Yonason has changed what was a perfectly happy, positive mitzvah into a negative mitzvah. It's no longer love somebody, do something, it's now don't. Don't do to other people what you wouldn't want them to do to you. And I want you just to be cognizant of that and aware of the fact that that mitzvah has now been phrased as a negative mitzvah, and we'll see why it's phrased as a negative mitzvah and how that impacts on everything else. Let's go on. Am I going too fast? I'm not going too fast, right? Fine, good. Let's go, because I've got 30 sources and I want to get through all of them. Have a look at number 7. This is a classic source, very famous. Hillel. The Gemara in Shabbos on Lamed Aleph has a whole bunch of stories of Gerim who came to Hillel and asked him all sorts of strange requests. Convert me while I'm standing on one leg, and convert me if I don't accept the Torah Shabbat Peh, etc., etc. Have a look at what he says here, number 7. Shuv Masib Anokri Echad Shebalif Nei Shammai. There's a non-Jew came to Shammai. Amalei Girani Amanash Talamdeini Kol HaTorah Kula Kushanei Oymed Al Regel Achas. Convert me while I'm standing on one leg. Fine. Dachvu ba'amas habinyan shebiyado. He pushed him out. He threw him out with a building stick that he was holding. Why was Shammai holding a building stick? He's a Rosh Hashiva, not a builder. It's a midrashic way of expressing the fact that he was Mr. Midas Adin. This guy doesn't measure up. You know, get out of here. You're wasting my time. I'm the Abbasid, and you can't come and stand on one leg in my base of Medrash. Okay? He goes to Hillel, Balifnei Hillel, who of course is famous for being extremely patient. Gary, he converts him, no problem, stand on one leg. So now he has to fulfill his promise. How do you learn the whole Torah on one leg? Amalah, he said to him, Da'alach sani, what is hateful to you, the chavreich loitavid, don't do to your friend, zuhi kol ha-Torah kulon. This is the entire Torah.
The idach perushahu, the rest is perush, it's commentary. Zilgamon, I even go and learn. But you're Jewish. If you understood this, you're Jewish. Which is it's an incredible statement from the Gemara, that this is the kolat ha'ira kula. In other words, if you're not a nice person, you cannot be a religious person. If you are a nice person, it doesn't mean that's enough to be a religious person. But there's one thing for sure, if you can't do this mitzvah, then you're missing the entire thrust of what kolat ha'ira kula is all about. And, I once was in a shir when someone demonstrated this very graphically. I meant to copy it. I'm sorry I didn't copy it, but maybe I'll bring it for you next week. If you look, the Gemara says that the two tablets of the two luchos of the Aseret Dibros were equal size, square and equal size. And Moshe came down carrying them. If you look at the first five, which are the Bein Adam Lemakom mitzvahs, believe in God and don't take God's name in vain, and Shabbos, etc., etc., the number of words is very high. There's a lot of words, very wordy. Hundreds of words. But if you look at the second set of five, which are the Bein Adam L'Machavero, don't murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't be jealous, etc. It's about six words. Loi Siritzach, Loi Sinach, etc. But if the Kaluchos were the same size, they were two different fonts. Yeah? So one is the big print, and one is the small print. I mean, the very first thing the Jewish people see, this is also a Mabit talks about this, it's a big print. There's the big, now the small print's important. If you ignore the small print, then it's the small print, then you'll get, into trouble with your contract. But the big print's the big print. And that's what the Hashem is, if you like, showing graphically to the Jewish people. Look at this side and you'll see that's the big story. Fine. So that's the first thing that Hillel, we said here. The essence of the negativity that I said before, that there's a negative mitzvah, it's don't do to other people what you want them to do. I want you to see this Marasha and understand this from here, number 8. Why did he tell him Baloshen Shlila in a negative way? We saw Yitzhak Yodison says this. Hillel said this to the Ger, don't do to other people. Why didn't he say to him, love your neighbor as yourself? I'm sure if you ask most people in the street randomly in New York, where is it written, love your neighbor as yourself? They'll say in the New Testament. Okay, it is also written there, but the fact is that they took it from here. But why did he change it to don't do to other people? So look at what he says. The Targum Milishna Dikra, when you translate the Pasuk, I should have said, Tarach Melech Avreich Kavata, love your neighbor as yourself, to Targum Onkelos, just like Targum Onkelos says. The Yesh Loimer, and the answer the Marasha gives is as follows. The Mashmalei Dekra, the Loi Airi Ela B'chi Hai Gavna, the Posik is really dealing with this particular situation. B'loi Sase, with the negatives. And again, the mitzvah, therefore, of V'yahavta L'Reich Kamocha is effectively a negative mitzvah. The obligation is a negative obligation. Don't be offensive to other people. Don't be cruel. Don't be rude. Don't be. Because it's written next to the mitzvah of don't take revenge, don't bear a grudge, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the understanding here of the Marasha is that the reason the Targum Yonasan said it was negative is because that's what the mitzvah is coming to say. Don't be, okay? Don't do bad to other people. Because the sign of anything that you would hate, etc. But when it comes to actively doing good for other people, that's not what the Pasuk is talking about directly. Which is interesting. Because you and I might have thought that the mitzvah of the Ahavta L'Reich Kamocha is to do things for other people. Right. But actually he's saying that's not the obligation. The obligation and the context, and the reason they're translating it negatively, is that really the obligation is not to be negative, not to be rude, not to do things that to other people that you would hate them to do to you. And in fact, if you flip over to number 9, you'll see that the smag, the Sefer Mitzvahs Hagadol, okay, who counted the mitzvahs, actually worded in this way. It says, V'yahavta l'recha kamocha, klalo shel davar. What does this mean? Da'alach sani l'chavrech lo tavid, don't do to other people what you wouldn't want them to do to you. V'yirushalai, or Yerushalmi, in the Darim, in the Targum, in the Talmud Yerushalmi, it says it like this. Misha yoshev u'mechateich basa, someone who's sitting chopping up food, yeah? The hikah yada v'sakin, and they cut their finger with a knife. V'kitachso yada v'taka yada l'nakein. Will they then put the knife in the other hand and then cut their hand that just cut this hand to get back at the hand that just cut? Your right hand cuts your left hand, so all of a sudden your left hand says, "Whoa, you can't do that," and cuts your right. He understands that v'yahavta l'reich kamocha is part of the mitzvah not to bear a grudge, not to take revenge, etc. Just like your left hand wouldn't take a very grudge on your right hand. So every member of Klal Yisrael is just another limb of the same organic whole. And you might want to consider the implications of this in terms of Kol Yisrael Aregim Zeh LaZeh, and the idea that the Shechina only rests on a tzibur, not on individuals. If individuals are seeing each other as disconnected and therefore not behaving properly, that's no different from the hand taking revenge on the other hand, etc., etc. Now, the key here, therefore, is to understand, for starters, that this is effectively a negative obligation. Where do the positives come in? So we'll see. We'll get there in a few minutes. But the first stage, if you like, is to understand this chiyuv, the obligation, d'oraisa, is not to behave in a negative way. It's written positively, and we'll see why soon. But all of the commentators understand that from the fact that it comes as part of the negatives, don't take revenge, don't take the bear a grudge. Also, there's the principle of klal uprat. Actually, here it's prat uklal. If you look at all the mitzvahs that come just before this in the positive, they're all negatives. Don't twist judgments, and don't be this, and don't be that, and don't be this, and don't be that. And then it ends, via havta l'reicha kamocha. And under the principles of interpretation of psukim, whenever you have a prat uklal, you have a lot of specifics, and then a general, the understanding is the general has to be understood in light of the nature of the specifics. And since the specifics are all negative, then the general also becomes negative. We'll see that there is positive to it as well. We'll get there. But first we have to deal with something else.
But isn't it also, actually, if you're told not to do something, then you're told not to bear a grudge, not to be inconsiderate, therefore you must be considerate.
If but being considerate doesn't necessarily require me to help anybody. You're right. Not being rude to someone might just mean that I keep my mouth shut and I stay in the house. Who says that I've got to go out there and help little old ladies across the street and invite people to, and go and visit people in the shiva house, etc., etc.? Now, you're right, there will be some situations where if you don't go to the shiva house, that will be rude. Okay? And therefore, there'll be lots of cases where if I don't go, no one will miss me. But if I do go, they'll really appreciate it. Where do we learn that there's a mitzvah to actually go? We haven't seen that yet. Before we get to that, which we will see in a few minutes, Be'ezrat Hashem, just firstly on the practical side of the mitzvah, look at number 10. Hamitzvah Haresh Vav, says the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs. Mitzvah number 206. He said, "Shetzivanu la'av of katzasnu es katzasnu." The Hakadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us to learn each one the other one. Kamoshe ne'avatz meinu, just like we love ourselves. V'she'atiye chemlosi va'avosi la'achi. My concern and my love for my brother should be kechemlosi va'avosi la'atzmi, like my concern and my love for myself. And I've underlined and put these words in bold, b'mamoinoi u'begufoi, with his money and with his person, with his body. The Rambam expresses this mitzvah in a very dollars and cents way. I have to look after him with his money, with his belongings, with his, and look at, see how he says it now. V'kol mashe yeh b'rushosai, anything that belongs to him. That's how I do this mitzvah. Or yirtzelsai, anything that he wants. Etzani, I want that for him too. In other words, I'll find out what he wants out of life, and I'll want that for him as well. I might not want that for myself. If he's a stamp collector, I'm not bothered. I couldn't care less. I'm not going to waste my time. But he wants that love stamp. I want that too. But kol ma she'erzel la'atzmi, and everything I want for myself, erzeloy, I'd like for him as well. V'chol ma she'esna la'atzmi, everything that I hate for myself, or lemi she'yidbag, but you offer anything concerning me, esna loy kamahu, I hate for him as well. V'hu amru yisalam, that's what it means v'havta l'recha kamocha. The Rambam has put this in a very practical way. He said, you don't have to physically, emotionally rather, love anybody. This is part of the question. What does it mean, love your fellow Jew? Let's say it's a Jew for now. Although there are opinions that it includes non-Jews as well. Let's say it's definitely Jews. I don't have to feel emotional about you. I don't have to feel about you the same way that I feel about my kids and my wife. Even though there is no specific mitzvah in the Torah, love your wife or love your kids, it's part of the same mitzvah, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. It's just that the Rambam's saying, I don't have to feel that I'm missing anything if I don't walk around the streets wanting to hug every other Jewish person. Now, there are people who want to feel that, and that's great, as long as they don't, you know, overstep the boundaries, which is always difficult. But I don't have to feel that. But what I do have to do is, if I see your coat lying on the floor, I have to pick it up. Yeah, I see you miss the bus, I want to try and give you a ride. If I see that you're running after the bus, I want to think, I hope you catch the bus. Yeah? It's basic, straightforward, practical things that the Rambam. It's not about emotion, really, at all. And in the Yad HaChazaka, he says a similar line, number 11. Mitzvah kol adam le'eves kol echod ve'echod mi'Yisrael ve'kegufoy. What do you have to do this mitzvah? You have to speak nicely about people. And be careful with their money. Just like you're careful with your own money. Just like you want your own covered, etc., etc., etc. And he gives the extreme antithesis of this. If you actually get pleasure from other people being done down, then you lose your chelik in olam haba, because zukala Torah kula. As Rabbi Akiva said, you know, this is klal gadol b'Torah. If you live the antithesis of this mitzvah, then you're no longer connected in olam haba to the Jewish people at all. So the contrast. I'm not going to look at source 12 and 13. I brought them slightly smaller because I'm going to skip them. But you can contrast this when you have time with the mitzvah of avas Hashem. The mitzvah of avas Hashem is without question an emotional mitzvah. The way the Rambam describes this is you have to feel ta'anuk. You have to feel a sense of pleasure. You have to feel an obsession. And he describes in source number 30, I'm not going to read it now, it's a little bit off the topic. But if you look at the way he describes that kind of avah, there's no question you have to get emotional. Anyone who thinks that the Rambam is a cold intellectual just needs to read source 13. And he's describing a sense of immense emotional agitation, a sense that you're completely obsessed with God. The question is, why is that different from V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha? And the Ramban makes a very interesting, obvious, but very, very important point. Look at number 14. V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. This is from the Ramban on Chumash, on V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. First of all, he says haflaga. It's an exaggeration. In other words, it doesn't really mean I have to love you, and it doesn't really have to mean I have to love you as much as I love myself. That's not what it's saying. That's not what it's saying. And he'll prove it in a minute. First of all, nobody realistically ever will love someone else quite as much as they love themselves.
Especially with their children. You aren't willing to give up your life for your child, you are, right?
It depends on your children, I suppose. But yes, in print, people. But of course, this mitzvah is not just for your children. I meant to feel this mitzvah about the guy I just walked past in the street on the way to or Panina,
right.
who I'm not that excited about, really. So he says, "Haflog, I'm not meant to really feel for him the way I feel for myself." And he brings another halachic reason why it can't be literal. Rabbi Akiva, the man who said klal gadol b'Torah, he already came. We'll see this principle in action in a few minutes. We know halachically if there's a choice between, you know, me and somebody else, and it's him or me, then it's me, not him. My life comes before his life. We'll see those sources in detail in about 5 minutes. It's very comprehensive, Esty. So we'll see that it's not literal, because we know that you come before them. But then he says a very clever thing. Ela mitzvahs ha-Torah. What is the mitzvah of the Torah here? She'yev chaveru b'chol inyan. I have to love you, not personally, but I have to live you with inyanim. On issues. Your coat, your job, your sanity. The things about you. Ka'asha yevez az nashor b'chol ha-Torah. The yitachen, it could be, he says, ba'avur shaloi amavi ahavta et riecha kamocha. It doesn't say you must love et riecha. The hishvah is some of the like le riecha, but rather it says le riecha. And the Ramban has told us of a very fascinating grammatical point now. There are two kinds of ahava. There's ahava et, which is direct. Et means it's a direct causative. You know, I love you. Not I don't love things about you, I actually love you. That's why it says v'ahavta et Hashem elokecha. I have to love God. But here it says, V'ahavta l'riecha. It means I don't have to love you. I have to show love towards you. That's the lamed. So it's very fascinating. The posuk is very specific. Not to say F, it says L, because it's a different kind of ahava. It's a different kind of love. And it's not emotional, it's practical. Okay, fine. So just to sum up so far, what we've seen is it's a klal. It's effectively negative in obligation. Don't be, don't be, don't be, don't be. And it's practical in focus, which is, I don't have to emotionally love you, I just have to do things for you. Now, let's go one level further in. Look at number 15. Number 15 is a classic source. We'll see this source again a few times. She wants a hot drink. No problem. taking a small commercial break to deal with the
no problem. You can hear from that room.
Do you want to take your sheet with you or what? Okay, fine. No problem. It's no problem at all. Okay, let's look at source number 15. Here we have the Rambam taking things one stage further. Have a look at number 15. Mitzvah aseh shel divreihem. It is a positive rabbinic mitzvah, and rabbinic divreihem, and he gives a list. Levakei cholim, to visit the sick. Lenachim avelim, to comfort the bereaved. Lahotzi hameis, to take out the dead. Lahachnis akala, to bring in the kala. Lelavois haorchim, to accompany guests. We'll see why in future weeks he uses the expression to accompany guests for hachnasas orchim. Ulihitz asik b'chol tarchi akfura, to do everything you need to do to bury the dead. Lasei salakesiv, to carry out the body. Leilech lefanov, to walk in front of it at the levaya. Lispoi, to make a hesped. Lachpoi, to dig a grave. Lachpoi, to fill it in, etc. V'kein l'sameach hakalav hachosen, also to make kalav and chosen happy. Interesting, we'll see why he says it's the mitzvah is l'sameach kalav v'chosen, not chosen v'kala. He doesn't say anything by accident. Ulesadam akol tarcheim, to buy them wedding presents. He says these are all mitzvahs which are rabbinic mitzvahs. Ve'elohem dimulut chasadim, these are all mitzvahs of chesed shebeguf, which you do with your body. She'ein lahem shurim, there is no limit to them. We'll see there is a limit, but there is no limit in the same way as it says with mitzvahs of money. There is a limit as to how much money you're obliged to give. Here there is no specific maximum. And look at these are the key words now. Afal pisha kol mitzvahs elu midivreihem. Even though these are all rabbinic mitzvahs, hachnasas orchim, bikur cholim, going to a funeral, going to a shiva, etc. Hari hein bichlal v'yahavta l'reis kamocha. They're included in v'yahavta l'reis kamocha. Kol dvarim she'ata rotsi shi'atu asa l'cha acherim. Anything that anyone you would want people to do for you, asei ata oisam l'achicha v'torim mitzvahs, you must do for them. Now, I want you to listen carefully and realize the Rambam has done an interesting thing now. Is he's flipped back the mitzvah back into the positive. Yeah. He didn't say at the end, what you don't like, don't do to other people. He now says, what you want people to do for you, you must do for them. What's happened here? And let me explain to you, this is actually very fascinating, and this is how the mitzvah works. On a Torah level, the mitzvah is negative. The obligation is negative, which is don't be rude, don't be this, don't be that. As far as for positive chesed, the Torah says, we'll leave it up to you. You decide when you want to do chesed. Come along the rabbis and say, you know something? If we leave it for you to decide when to do chesed, the chances are you ain't going to do much chesed. Because people are lazy, people have got yetzer haras, etc., etc., etc. And therefore, Chazal came along and gave us a series of obligations which are rabbinic. You must go to a shiva, and you must go to a wedding, and you must go and invite guests, and you must go to visit the sick. But when you do that, you are fulfilling a Torah mitzvah. So again, the obligation is rabbinic, but the fulfillment is min haTorah, which is actually very interesting. So every time you do an act of chesed, you fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa. Even though on a Torah level you didn't have an obligation to do that, the rabbis said you had an obligation to do that in certain scenarios, but they are helping you get to Olam Haba.
Is that like when for women, when they do mitzvahs, they show them like Gerona, like shaking the lulav? They didn't have to do the mitzvah after they've done it.
They've yes, that's an example, another example of a mitzvah kiyumis. Yes. There's two kinds of mitzvahs. A mitzvah chiyuvis, where you have an obligation. The Torah says you have no choice. And there's mitzvah kiyumis, we leave it up to you. If a woman sits in a sukkah, shakes a lulav, etc., that's a mitzvah kiyumis. She did a mitzvah, even though she didn't have a chiyuv. Now, there, the rabbis didn't impose a chiyuv on her.
Right.
They left it to her. You choose. Completely your choice. Here, the rabbis impose a mitzvah, an obligation on you, because they want you to try and get that Torah mitzvah. It's a little bit like the mitzvah to have children. Men have an obligation to have children, and they fulfill a mitzvah d'oraisa when they have children. Women have no obligation d'oraisa to have the children, but they do fulfill a mitzvah d'oraisa when they have a children. It's interesting. Many women think, this is Rav Berkowitz said this a few times, many women think that when they have children, all they're doing is that they're facilitating their husband's mitzvah of Purur Avu. That's not true. They themselves also fulfill the mitzvah the right of Purur Avu. They just said they didn't have an obligation to do that. They did have an obligation to Rabbanon to do that.
That's a good thing to know.
Right. So it's not like having a baby is like religiously neutral for women. It's just like, oh, it's not true. It's religiously positive. It's just that the who is it? The Ksava HaKabbalah, either, or the Malbim, think maybe it's the Malbim, explained that the women, reason women don't have a an obligation to fulfill Peru Ravu is because the Torah wouldn't put them in a situation where they're a sakana and give them an obligation which actually is dangerous for them. Which is an interesting observation, because we see that there are obligations to fight in war and all sorts of things which is clearly dangerous. And, but that's off topic. Now, so I want you to understand this point. This is critical. That all of the chesed that we do is mitzvahs d'oraisa, but the obligations positively are drabonon, thereby Chazal are...
Can you make a meal with somebody, or can you visit a plateau, or can you say no?
So we'll see in a minute. The Chazal turned around so far and said you have to say yes. We'll see what the halachic limits of that are in a minute. But you, in other words, in other areas of chesed, like should I help the old lady across the road with her shopping, Chazal didn't impose an obligation. They said, look, we're back to the Torah level, which is you choose. If you want to, fine. If not, then you miss the mitzvah, but it's your choice. It's not an aveira. In these areas, specifically, shivas, funerals, weddings, guests, hospitals, etc., Chazal said, no, you have an obligation. Now, you're raising an interesting point, which is exactly the next question, which is, actually, not exactly, it's in a minute, which is, well, where do I say no? How do I know when I can say no? It's like, I can't say yes to everything. I can't go to every wedding, every funeral, every hospital visit, otherwise I'll just, you know, collapse. We'll see that in a minute. So, that's the end of part one. Okay? Now, part two. Turn on to page three. There's a whole other angle to this, which you need to be aware of, which is that there is a mitzvah not only ben adam l'chaveru, but ben adam l'mokam of chesed as well. Have a look at number 16. The Jewish people came out from the Red Sea. They perceived HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they said like this, Ze keili v'anveihu, this is my God, and I will v'anveihu. Oh, good boy. This is my God, v'anveihu, and I will glorify him, etc., etc. Abba Shaul Omer, Abba Shaul explained it as this. Anvehu means ani vehu. It's me and him. The Jewish people have this understanding at the Yam Sof. It's me and him. It says, Havidoin Eloi, be like him, mahu chanun v'rachum, just like Hashem is chanun v'rachum. He has put mercy on people and he looks after people. Af ata haye chanun v'rachum. Just similarly, you must be like this as well. They saw this at the Yam Sof. Similarly, Yisro, when he explained to Moshe Rabbeinu what to teach the Jewish people just ethically on a human level, he includes in the Pasuk the reference to Gimelus Chassadim in source 17, which I'm not going to go through in detail now, but the main source is number 18 and 19. There's a mitzvah that comes in Sefer Dvarim. It doesn't just come once. It comes at least 8 times, okay? Which is as follows. Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu, walk with Hashem, v'oysa tiraum, fear him, v'es mitzvaysav tishmau, and keep his mitzvahs, u'bekoiloi tishmau, listen to his voice, v'oysa tavoidu, and serve Hashem, u'boi tidbakom, and stick to Hashem. There's a mitzvah to walk with Hashem, the halachta b'drachav, and it comes again and again. I quoted you in number 18 all of the different references in Tvarim to where we see this mitzvah again and again and again and again. So the Gemara wants to know, what's this mitzvah? It says 19. Amar Reb Chama b'Reb Chanina. Why does it say you have to walk with God? Ki efshaloi la'adam lahalech achar shchina. Can a person really walk with the shchina? V'halok for Nerma, doesn't it say in the Pesukim, Ki Hashem Elokecha Eish Oichlahu, Hashem is a burning fire. Meaning two things. You get too close, you get zapped. We see this with Nadav and Avihu, etc. Also, it's fire. You can't grab, you can't hold on to a fire. Not only will you get burned, but you won't have anything in your hands. Says the Gemara, El Alahalech HaChamidoi Savshel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mitzvah is to copycat Hashem, to copy Hashem. Mahu, Balbisharum, just as he gives clothes to the people who have no clothes, they sieve. Vayas Hashem Elokim El Adam, Le'ishtoi, Kosnas Or, etc. He clothes those who have no clothes with Adam. Af Ata Hal Balbisharum, you must do that. Just like he visits the sick with Avram, next week's Parsha, you must do that. Just as he visits the bereaved and comforts them with Yitzchak, you must do that. Just as he buries the dead with Moshe, bless you, you must do that. In other words, this mitzvah is a mitzvah bein Adam Lamakom. It's a mitzvah of chesed. But the reason you're doing the chesed is not because you're feeling for the other person, but it's because you want to become a more godly person yourself. It's a different focus. And it's very interesting because the kavana that you have when you do a mitzvah chesed will determine the mitzvah doraisa that you're accomplishing. Sorry, get my own back now. In other words, If you go into, I tell the girls that I teach at seminary, you know, they have to do chesed every week. Fine? So they go to some woman's house, or a man's house, whatever it is, on a Thursday afternoon, and there are 18 children running around, and there's dirty washing up everywhere, and the place is a complete tip. And when they walk in there, and they're going to help that woman to kind of, or that person to get her life together for an afternoon, what is their kavana? So if their kavana is, oh my gosh, if I was in this position, I would so appreciate someone coming to help me, then that's the mitzvah v'ahavta kamocha. Do for other people what you want them to do for you. Don't do to other people what you wouldn't want them. That's v'ahavta kamocha. If their kavana is, how did this woman get into this mess? What a disaster of a life. You know, I'd never let this happen to me. Like, what's going on? But you know something? If I do chesed for this person, this will be a very positive thing for me to do. This will be make me more godly, etc. That's a different mitzvah completely. You missed the mitzvah of Yahavta Reich Kamocha because you couldn't care less about this woman. But you did the mitzvah of Alachta Bedrachav. And of course, if you have both kavanas, which why shouldn't you?
Right.
You get both mitzvahs for the price of one. And if you have neither kavana, which is I'm only coming here because they'll throw me out of Sem if I don't go, so then you missed all of the mitzvahs. good to go. You'll get some schar and alam haba, you help somebody, but the key of a mitzvah you just missed because your head wasn't there. You weren't doing any of the mental application that's needed to actually achieve this mitzvah. So you're still helping someone, but you know something? You missed the golden opportunity. The Rambam explains in Moreh Nevuchim and many other people. There is also a, who says this? I saw recently. Gosh, I think it was a Shem Yishmul. Yeah, the Shem Yishmul says this as well. At the end of the day, the Olam Haba that you get for the mitzvah is the kavana that you have during the mitzvah. The Rambam says explicitly, the physical mitzvahs that you do are really, at the end of the day, there to make you into a more ethical and moral and better person. But the Olam Haba cannot be achieved through a physical thing. This is a deeper question. You cannot get Olam Haba through a physical act alone.
So let's say you change your shiznepi. That's an act of chesed.
Absolutely. It's the ahavta l'rech kamocha.
Can it also be, I hate changing nappies, but this is going to make me close to Hashem?
Absolutely. In other words, I'm just not, my head is not anywhere that I can feel sorry for this kid right now. I just want him in a clean nappy, in bed asleep, and I just want to go back to bed. But I realize when I'm doing this, you know something, this is what God put me in this world for. To do things for other people, this is making me a, then you get that mitzvah, no question about it. By the way, they say if you're not nice to kids, then you're also into the battle. Kids are reyecha, that's definitely the same as everyone else. You have to get in their headspace. If you walk around frightening children, then you know you're a battle dismissal. I remember we had one of our Pathways groups, and someone gave them this, it wasn't me, someone gave them this kind of subject in the morning, and they were queuing up in the evening to get food at the hotel dining room, and there was one meatball left. And there was a guy who was on the trip, and there was one of our madrichot standing behind him. And he turned around to her and said, would you like the last meatball? And she said to him, oh, you're such a kind, considerate person. And he turned around, he's a completely non-religious person. And he turned around to her and said, actually, now I'll be quite frank with you, I'm really not a very kind, considerate person, but I would just like to try and be more godly. So basically what he was saying to her is, actually, I don't do v'ahavta reich kamocha yet. I'm not really holding there, but I do understand the need to be a giving person. I want to do v'alachta b'drachav, and therefore my kavanah is for that mitzvah, and you have the meatball.
So you can really be a very selfish person and do a lot of
chesed. Well, the truth is, if you do a lot of chesed, eventually you become a very selfish person, because that's how it works.
Okay.
Most people who are really very selfish don't tend to do a lot of chesed.
Is it called a selfish reason because you want to be like Hashem?
No, it's just a different mitzvah. It's just a different mitzvah. It's chesed for a different purpose. Now, let's get to your point, Esti, which is, what are the limits? Okay? We said, it says, Eilu Dvarim She'ein Lahim Shiur, number 21, Hapea Bikurim Harayon, Gibulus Chasadim, the Talmud Torah. There is no limit to Gibulus Chasadim. Again, personal chesed, it's not quite monetary chesed. Clearly, monetary chesed, there is a limit. But what does that mean, Ein Shiur? It means I have to do and do and do and do and do and do and do. What really is the halachic parameter? So here, I want you to see something very iconic. Turn to page 4. Source number 22, which I skipped over now, just really is the Rambam explaining that with money mitzvahs, there is a limit. It's a fifth, depending on how rich you are. But with chesed mitzvahs, there is no limit. So let's have a look at this source now. Source 23 is the classic Gemara in Bava Metzia that deals with what is my limit on chesed. Shnayim shehayim mahalchim b'derech. Two people are walking down the street, it's not the street really, it's the desert, walking down a path. U'biyad echad mehem kikon shel mayim, and one of them holds a bottle of water. Im shoisim shneim, if they both drink mesim, they will die, meaning the Mefarshim say they will almost certainly die. You never know, they could pray, and they will pray, you never know, something, a helicopter might fly over the sand dunes and pick them up, but the chances are very slim. They both share it, there's not enough for them to get to civilization. Im shoise echad mehem, but if one of them drinks, Magia, the issue of he will make it. Probably he will make it. But the other guy, there's no chance for. What do you do? Do you share it? Pray? Hope for the best? Do you take it yourself? Obviously, this is talking about your water. You can't grab his water. You drink it. It's your water. Do you say, I'm sorry. It's my water. I'm going to drink it. You'll have to pray. Says the Gemara like this. Doros ben Petura. Ben Petura, who is one of the Tanaim, said like this. Musav sheyishtu shnehem v'yimusav. Better they should both drink, they should both die. Va'al yira echad mehem b'misasa shel chaveru. Rather than one of them witness, and on a certain level almost be the cause of, the death of his fellow man. Better they should both drink and both die. Pray, hope for the best. It's not suicide, you never know. Miracles happen. Achebar Rabbi Akiva, then Rabbi Akiva came to limit and he learned, no. There's a pasuk. V'chei achicha imach. When the Torah says you have to help your brother so that your brother will live, it doesn't just say v'chei achicha, your brother will live. It says v'chei achicha imach, your brother will live with you. Meaning, chayecha kodim l'chayecha v'echa. Your life comes before the life of your brother. If you're not there, if you're not going to be there, you don't have an obligation to help them. That's what the word imach means. So you have two opinions, Rabbi Akiva and Ben Petura, who drinks the water? Rabbi Akiva says you drink the water, Rabbi Petura says you share the water. The question is, who do we paskin like?
Yeah.
The Rambam doesn't bring this specific halacha directly and says, if you're walking down the desert and you have he doesn't bring the halacha.
I wonder what paskin allies say. It would never happen. There isn't a situation like that.
Why?
None of us would ever be walking through the desert with one brother or two people. I'm saying
We'll see right now that the practical applications of this could be more wide-ranging than you think. Have a look, just skip 24 and 25 for a second, look at 26. But go back to 24 and 25. The Gemara in Nedarim expands the case of the two guys in the desert to a slightly different case, which again is not quite the way we live our lives, but we'll see it closer. Ma'ayan shel b'nei ha'iru. If there's a drought and there's a well in your town and the next town down the road has no water and you are the mayor of the town, you have responsibility for deciding who drinks the water, who gets your water? So says the Gemara, Chayechem v'chayacherim, if it's your lives, your people, your town versus the town down the road. In other words, I could give half the water away, save half the people down the road, but then half my people will die. Your lives come before their lives. Finished. You have to obviously say, I'm sorry, I suppose. But at the end of the day, your people come first. But then the Gemara, that's an easy case. That's just exactly the same as the guy with the other guy in the desert, really, except with a multiple scenario. Then the Gemara goes into a slightly different case. Everyone's got enough money to live. It's a question of the animals. I've got extra water to feed my animals. Do I share it? Feed some of their animals? And let some of mine die, or do I give it all to my people? Says the Gemara, Behem tan kodman bebehemas achirim. Your animals come first. Even when it's not life-threatening, your animals come first. Kfisasan or kfisas achirim. What happens if everyone's got enough water to live and to feed the animals, but it's a question of washing? Who's going to go without clean clothes for weeks and months? It's not just a question of, like, not doing a wash today. Who is going to get the water to for hygiene? Do I share it with them? Or do I keep it for my people? Says the Gemara, kfisasan kodim lekfisas achirim. Your needs come before their needs. You can keep the water for yourself. So then the Gemara asks, the Gemara has really been leading up to this question, because all these questions are fairly obvious so far. Chay achirim ukfisasan, what if it's their lives versus your washing? Their lives versus your hygiene. You've got enough water to live and feed your animals, and the only question is, what do I do with the extra? Do we wash? Or do I give it to the people down the road who are mamash dying and save their lives? So the Gemara answers, Chayachem kodim lechivitasan. First answer, their lives become before what you're washing. What do you think? What are you thinking? But then Rabbi Yossi Omer, kfisasan kodemes lechayachem. Your washing comes before their lives.
Yeah, thank you. What?
Your washing comes before their lives. So what's going on? So the Ren, who is one of the commentators here on the Dorim, first of all, he expresses in source number 27 that you see here the Gemara is paskening like Rabbi Akiva in the easy case, which is your lives versus their lives. Right. Your lives come first. Your animals versus their animals. Your animals come first. Your washing versus their washing. Your washing. He says, clearly we're paskening like Rabbi Akiva, not Ben Tzura. So that's number one. But then he tries to understand Rabbi Yossi. What's with Rabbi Yossi? Your life versus their lives versus your washing comes first. So look at the last line of number 27.
You know what, in those days, hygiene was part of getting rid of germs, part of bathing, part of if you don't wash, maybe they didn't have showers, if you don't clean yourself, then everybody will get ill.
Oh, so look at what the Ran says here. The third line of the Ran here, Rabbi Yossi amikvizasan shal oisa ha'ir, kodemis lishtiyasan shal b'nei ir acheris. Your washing comes before their clothes, their lives, excuse me. Disvira leila Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi understands if you don't do your washing and you don't have that hygiene, it will be not just unhappy but extremely distressing. Tzara tuva, a lot of tzar. Chaya nefeshu, this is called chay nefesh, and your life comes before their lives. Now he's explained Rabbi Yossi very, very fascinatingly. He says basically the following. The we're not talking about someone going without clean clothes for a week. We're talking about someone going without clean clothes for months. You'll be crawling with lice. You'll be deeply, deeply uncomfortable. You won't die. You probably won't get sick, but you'll be very unhappy. Says Rabbi Yossi, your deep unhappiness at the end of the day doesn't obligate you to save other people, even if it's their lives. There are limits. You don't have to wait till it's a question between your life and their life. Even if it's less than your life, it's your hygiene, it's your deep unhappiness, at that point you say, no, even if it's at the risk of them dying, I don't have to get involved. And at the end of the day, if you think about it, Rabbi Yossi, even though at the first sight sounded very, almost offensive, how can you put your washing before other people's lives? We all live, Lefi Rabbi Yossi. We all do this. We all prioritize things in our lives over other people's needs, even when those needs are greater than ours, and even when those needs are sometimes life-threatening. Let's just not eat meat for a week, during the week, and save the money. Or not, I say to my wife, something, let's sell the washing machine. Let's do it the way they used to do it in the olden days. We'll go down to the river. Or I should probably say, you'll go down to the river. Yeah? If it was good enough for your great-grandmother, it's good enough for us. We'll sell the washing machine. All the money we save, We'll give to Africa, and we'll save thousands of babies. People will live because we had Moisa Nefesh to wash at the river. My wife is going to legitimately turn around to me and say, forget about it. I'm not going washing at the river. That's not a luxury for me. This is a human necessity. Well, it's a necessity beyond other people's lives. Well, yes, actually, it is. I'm not required to go that far, even when other people have greater needs. That's what this Gemara is basically saying. And here we get to an understanding of the halachic limits of chesed. Which is, if you go back now to number 24, says the Rambam, mitzvah asay liten tzedakah, you have a mitzvah to give tzedakah la'aniyim, to poor people, kefi masha roi la'ani, according to what they need. Im hay sayada noisin masayis, as long as you can afford it. What does that mean, as long as you can afford it? A guy comes to me, I need $300. So I have an obligation to give him $300. Fine, let's say I do. So at what point do I turn around and say to the guy, I'm not going to give you $300 anymore? When I'm down to my last $300 and I say, now I can't afford it. Or do I turn around and say, well, actually, I have to keep money back for family holidays. I have to keep money back for buying my kids' birthday presents. What? You mean your kids' birthday presents and your family holidays come before, I'm collecting for poor families in Yerushalayim who have pizza and hummus to eat for Shabbos. Are you really telling me that? The answer is, actually, yes, I am telling you that. Because there is a point at which I'm making myself poor. Not just poor financially, but poor emotionally, poor psychologically. I used to get this in London when I used to be a lawyer there. So Sunday afternoon, lines of people, I'm sure you can identify with this, lines of people standing outside waiting to collect. The drivers bring them on a Sunday, This one's got a yeshiva, and this one's got a kollel, and this one's got poor families in Israel, and this one's got this. They're all needy cases. Let's assume that they're all needy cases. So I open the door and give the guy five shekels or what the equivalent is. Fine, I go sit down. I'm sitting down to eat dinner with my wife. The doorbell rings again. I answer the door again. I sit down to try and have dinner again. The doorbell rings again. I sit down to do my homework with my kids. The doorbell rings again. At what point am I going to turn around and say, you know something? I really can't answer the door again. I'm sorry, I don't care how pressing your tzedakah is, and I'm sure it is. My kids' homework's got to come first. My wife's sanity. I need to eat my dinner. What's going on here?
Well, then I'm not answering the door. Your husband's not home. People collecting.
And you're not comfortable answering the door. You don't know who they are.
Yeah.
You don't know if they're bona fide or not bona fide. Some strange guy standing at the door. You're perfectly entitled to turn around and say, I don't feel comfortable or safe answering the door to people who I don't know. I think that's entirely reasonable. You know, you could always give stocker in other ways. You don't have an obligation to give Dafka, this guy, money, necessarily.
What about if someone asks you,
did
you ask for
that? So that's again, this is what we're dealing with. At the point at which you become poor, and whatever that means, you're in an uncomfortable situation, which is, you know, whatever, and you can't be with your kids, you can't be with your wife, whatever it is.
Because you're supposed to put yourself out.
Oh, very good, very good. So what we're dealing with here now is a very difficult balance. On the one hand, I have a mitzvah to do chesed. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I'm allowed at a certain point when I really make myself genuinely poor, and that's going to be a difficult line, how much do I really need, how many holidays do I really need, etc.
As a human being, you can kind of laugh, you can kind of...
You're right. So that's what source 28 and 29 are coming to deal with, which we're coming to nearly the end. So look at source 28, please. And this deals exactly with your point. What's your name?
Kylie.
This deals exactly with your point. The Mishnah deals with the following case. Avedasava Avedas Aviv. You have a choice between rescuing the lost property of yourself or the lost property of your father. Avedasava Koidemis, your lost property comes first. Avedasava Avedas Raboi, the property of your Rav or your property, Shaloi Kodim, again your property comes first. What is this scenario? Let's put a practical scenario in it. You go on holiday with your family, all your luggage gets lost, it gets sent to Greenland, and you get a call from the airport the next week, your luggage has come back. Please come and pick it up. You go to the airport, you walk into the airport, and you see rather than keeping it in a locker or something, they've just dumped it in the middle of the floor. Completely open. Anyone can take it. You now have a halachic choice to make. I can only carry one suitcase back to my car. Whose suitcase am I going to take? And whose suitcase am I going to leave in the middle of the public arena? They might get stolen. That's a practical choice. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah, you can take yours. And you can take yours over your father's. You can take yours over your mother's, over your rabbi's. So the Gemara says like this. Minani mili. 28. Where do we learn this from? I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav. I'm a Krokos. The Pasuk says, Efes ki lo yihye v'cha evyon. They will not be a poor person among you. Now, the Gemara understands that this is not a promise by Hashem that they will never be poor people. Because elsewhere it says, just a few lines later, don't worry, they'll always be poor people. There won't be any shortage of people to give tzedakah to. This is not a promise that they'll never be poor people. It's a commandment, it's a mitzvah. Don't make yourself poor, says the Gemara. Shel chakoy dem shel kol adam. Yours comes before other people's. But then it addressed, Carly, your point. The Amarav Yehuda Amarav. But if you spend your life being that way, you'll end up that way. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Even though maybe you don't have an obligation in certain situations to do chesed, you're obligated to push yourself beyond the letter of the law. The loyla dakde can not be too quick to say shali kodim, that I come first. Unless it's a real case of loss. Because if you're always saying this, you'll end up not doing any chesed or tzedakah. For so she's tach libris, you'll end up needing other people as a kind of as an oinish from Hashem. What? And this is how the Shulchan Aruch Paschim in source 29, that sometimes you're allowed to say I come first, but you must always be pushing yourself. Lifnei mishuras hadin. In other words, the Pasuk says if you constantly put yourself first, then at the end of the day you'll be giving into Yetzer Hara.
Yeah.
It won't be honest.
Yeah.
And then you'll end up, God forbid, that, you know, as a punishment for your lack of chesed, you yourself will be needy and need other people. The way I often summarize this, and with this whole finish, is that there's kind of three stages. Everybody's born with, like, ego and yetzer hara. Babies, as you quite know, are not interested in anybody else. It's my food, my sleep, my dinner, my tummy ache. I don't care who else is inconvenienced by that. We're all born with a big M me. The mitzvah of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha tells us, no, there's an us, there's a you as well. I can't put myself before other people. There's an equal playing field here. But then the next stage is that there is still a little M me, which is, if my v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha is destroying myself, then that's a halachic limit. I can't do that. I can't make myself poor. Because otherwise I won't be in a position to help anybody. That's why they tell you, you know, if you're on a plane and the oxygen mask comes down, put yours on before you do your kids. Because if you don't look after yourself, you'll never be able to look after it. But, of course, there's always a danger that a little enemy can quickly turn into the big enemy.
Which is a lot of psychology nowadays.
Right.
It's all about me.
Right. And all that's happened is I've ended up back in the Yetzer Hara, and that's what the Gemara is trying to say. Of course, there are cases where you really do come first. And you have to prioritize yourself sometimes. But always assume that you're kind of doing it wrong and try and analyze and say, really, do you really come first? And if the answer is yes, actually, I've got to have dinner with my wife, it's essential, so fine. So that's your halachic limit of chesed. And therefore what you've ended up seeing here is a very sort of detailed and structured analysis. And I want us to sum up now in the last 1 minute that basically the Ahavta L'reicha Kamocha is not just a mitzvah, it's a klal. It's a general mitzvah that comes along with other mitzvahs and has specific applications. Its obligation, d'oraisa, is a negative. Don't be. Along come the rabbis and bring positive obligations that help you to achieve that mitzvah. Okay? There's also a mitzvah, which is Bein Adam L'Mokom, of being more godly, for halachta b'drachav, etc., which comes alongside this mitzvah if your kavona is there. And finally, there is a halachic limit to chesed, and the limit is the point at which you make yourself poor. And one should always be on the guard to check that it's not the big M me, it's still the little M me, which is the legitimate me, which is the chayecha koydim l'chayecheiris. Okay? And therefore, we've done this quite fast, but I think, you know, we've covered all the ground. You need to think about it, and then Be'ezrat Hashem, in future weeks, we're going to plug this specifically into the other chesed mitzvahs. Chachnasas Orchim, Bikur Choylim, Nichum Aveilim, etc., etc., and see how these ideas manifest in those mitzvahs and how other specific obligations come in. Okay? Have a very good day, and we'll see you soon.